We have a special offer for first-time donors to Issues Etc. For any size gift during the months of January and February, we'll send you an autographed copy of Pastor Will Wheaton's new book, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Make your first-time contribution online at issuesetc.org or send your check to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, and we'll send you an autographed copy of Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We see again and again and again the more that science is able to honestly look at life from beginning, all through its stages of development, how we are conceived and how we grow before we are born. We see again and again and again that science will vindicate the view that life is intrinsically valuable and that it is there from the moment of conception. And what you are, who you are, well, some of that grows into being, but the fact that you are a full-blown human being from stage one, there's no doubt about it scientifically. And then that relationship that is forged there at conception is not just a matter of genetics and cells. It's also with people. You are a person, too, a child, and you have a mother. Joining us to talk about that maternal bond, that it is actually a physical thing too, Pastor Jonathan Lang, pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming. He is author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Four Ways Moms and Their Children Remain Physically Bonded for Life. Pastor Lang, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Always good to be here, Todd.
Is this recent kind of the discoveries that we're going to be talking about here in the course of our conversation, are they further scientific vindication of a pro-life position?
Well, I would have to say so, absolutely. I mean, behind it all is the increasing certainty of the personhood coming into existence at the moment of sperm egg fusion. But really what this column focuses on is that developing relationship and how interpersonally related we are and how that is a part of being human as God created it from the beginning. And I've always said that the more you study science, the more your theology is confirmed. And this is another example.
Well, let's talk about these several discoveries about the maternal bond and its physicality. The first one has to do with mitochondria, and some of us are just kind of scratching our heads remembering something we learned in high school about human cells. What are mitochondria, and what is the recent discovery?
Well, mitochondria are little teeny tiny organelles within cells. And there can be anywhere from just a few to up to 2,000, but usually it's around 100 or so. They are, the scientists call them the powerhouses of the cells, because they're the things that generate the energy that life lives on, that every cell lives on. ATP synthesis is what they're involved in. The curious thing about them is that, so they are organelles within a cell, but in some ways they have characteristics, it's almost like they mimic the existence of single-cell organisms in themselves. And that's why, as kind of quasi-single-cell organisms, they have their own DNA, which is quite independent from the DNA of the cell that they are working in. And these, by the way, are the things that they did a study on these, the DNA of the mitochondria, and how fast they replicate and divide and so forth, and then interpolated backwards. They did a study about it, interpolating this backwards a couple years ago, and decided that the DNA for all mitochondria in human women comes from a single woman several thousand years ago. Another example of science confirming the biblical account of Eve.
So just to walk us in layman's terms as much as we can through how at conception we are bonded to our mothers mitochondrially.
Okay. Well, so your father and your mother both have their own unique mitochondria with its own unique DNA. And of course, the human embryo comes into existence from a combination of the father's cell, the sperm, and the mother's cell, the egg. But what is fascinating is that at the very moment that the sperm and the egg join to form the new human being, the father's mitochondria are selectively destroyed by the new cell, so that from that moment on, the only mitochondria in the new human being formed is from the mother's mitochondrial strain. And that's how everything goes from there. And for the rest of your life, every bit of power that is produced in every one of your billions of cells is produced by mitochondria that you got from your mom.
That's not the only thing you have that we've discovered about mitochondria in this maternal bond, is it?
No, there's a lot more, too, and it has to do with the development of the DNA. We oftentimes think that the DNA is kind of, that's who I am. And matter of fact, so much of this terrible science which is going on with a three-person embryo is tinkering with DNA and destroying actual human beings in order to rob DNA and combine them in new ways. But the fact of the matter is, you are not just your DNA. You are who you are because of the way that your mother developed and grew your DNA. And so that has to do with what's called the cytoplasm. We started off talking about the mitochondria, which is one of the very small organelles within the cell. The cytoplasm is that kind of jelly-like liquid that fills the cell and has not only the mitochondria and the nucleus, but also many other organelles and RNAs and proteins. But what we have discovered is that the unique makeup of your mother's cytoplasm, with all of its organelles and all of its RNA and all of its proteins, these are the things that actually do the legwork of interpreting the DNA which is found in the nucleus. And this is why you can have twins that look very different, because it is not only DNA, it is also the way that your mother interpreted and expressed that DNA. So, a beautiful thing. That's why, by the way, you can have a very, very, very tall son from two regularly sized parents. Often has to do with that kind of interpretation of the DNA.
Another remarkable fact of this motherhood bond has to do with, and this is called fetal microchimera or chimera. What is that?
Okay, yeah, that's a really mouthful of a word, isn't it? Let's start with what a chimera is. So a chimera is an individual organism that has two genetically distinct cell populations within it. Now, that's a long way of saying something that you can say very simply. When you, say, for instance, have an organ transplant and you get another person's kidney, that kidney has the DNA of the person who donated it. So you have become now a chimera. You have your own DNA, and then alongside of that, growing within the same body, you have the DNA of another. And it will remain that way for the rest of your life. What a fetal microchimera is that every time a woman conceives a child, that child has its own unique DNA. But not only that, through the course of the pregnancy, for however long she's pregnant, whether it's for days or for the entire term, through the course of the pregnancy, the DNA of the developing child crosses the placental barrier, enters into her bloodstream, and takes up residence in various places in the mother's body. And sometimes it takes place in, or it takes up a space in the liver, sometimes in the brain. It can be really anywhere, but there are particular places in a woman's body that they tend to congregate. But then when the baby is born, that cell line that came from the baby continues to replicate within the mother and oftentimes stays there for the entire length of her life. And what this means then is that for every child that she conceives throughout the course of her life, she continues to have a physical remainder of the cell line of that child living within her very body.
And there's one more part of this motherly bond here, and that has to do with something found in a recently released University of British Columbia publication. What was that?
Yeah, so the first three talked about the bond that was formed between a mother and a child before birth. This one continues to develop that thought after birth. And so what they found, and this was a study released just last November, what they found is that they took a number of mothers and had them keep a journal of when their children were distressed, and then in that journal to also keep track of how they responded to that distress. And then they kept those journals and went back, and when the children were about 4.5 years old, they went back and they looked at the children's cells genetically. And what they were able to establish was a correlation between the amount of physical care that a mother gave to her distressed child back when it was only months old. 4.5 years later, they could tell in the maturation and in the strength of that child's genes, they could tell which children had been cared for more tenderly at the tender age of months and weeks, and which ones had not been responded to with as much tender care. It's remarkable. It was imprinted on the very cells. The cells were more advanced in their development and stronger, and the child was more healthy.
You conclude then, with only about 30 seconds here, you say mothers don't sell yourselves short. What do you mean by that?
Well, there's so many different ways that the mother contributes to the well-being of the child. And oftentimes we are thinking about children as though they're just kind of a temporary resident in the mother. But no, the mother is intertwined with the being of her child from beginning to the end of his life. And she is so important and such a blessing. We are interrelated as human beings, and God made it that way. And he made the mother especially to have that gift.
Pastor Jonathan Lang is pastor of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Evanston, Wyoming, and St. Paul Lutheran Church in Kemmerer, Wyoming. He's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Four Ways Moms and Their Children Remain Physically Bonded for Life. You can find a link to it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Pastor Lang, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks again for having me. It's great to talk to you.
Folks, I recently had the pleasure of hearing Dr. Scott Murray speak on the Christian marriage topic at last fall's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. Now, his chapter alone, The Religion of Sex, that's in our book of the month, is worth the purchase price. You can find out more about this book called The Gates of Hell, Confessing Christ in a Hostile World at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House during regular business hours, 1-800-325-325. 3040, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February, The Gates of Hell. When we come back, Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute will join us. We're going to talk about a recent opinion piece in USA Today. Government had no role in my late-term abortion struggle. Let's keep it that way.
Hear my prayer.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
This is Pastor Philip Hauser with Lamb of God Lutheran Church in Papillion, Nebraska. We're faithful to the Lutheran confessions as recorded in the Book of Concord, and our services are traditional Eucharistic liturgies in accordance with the ancient texts Saturday evening and Sunday morning. If you're ever in Omaha, come visit us. We're on Lincoln Street between 84th and 96th in Papillion. Our website is lambofgodlcms.org.
Technology, diversity, family breakdown, gender confusion. Think for a moment. What are the most pressing issues facing Christians today? Whatever the issues may be, chances are good that the writers and editors of the Lutheran Witness magazine will be talking about them and helping readers see and understand them through Lutheran eyes. Subscribe today to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's flagship magazine at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
people have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Making the Case for Godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law. That's what we've been freed from. We don't have to think about that. Well, no. The whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Wheaton Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.